This is John Evans from One West, and we are continuing our conversation on GDPR. In the last session, we talked about why it's important, what it means, and things like that. Now, we're going to talk about the practicalities of it, and I've got Rob Long in the room, who's our resident expert. Hello, Rob.
Hi there, John.
So, just reflecting back on GDPR, tell us once again why it's important.
So, I believe GDPR is very important around securing people's data and that expectation of your customers, your residents, your pupils, their families, and their expectations around treating your data or their families, their relatives' data with an appropriate level of security and appropriateness.
Okay, so we established in the last podcast what data needs to be protected, but let's put it out there into how it applies to people's jobs and the sort of things they might do all the time. So let's start with phone calls. What's your advice on that?
So the risks around phone calls are purely around sharing data to the wrong person, so unauthorized disclosure. So my message around phone calls, if you're going to discuss personal data, which is hard to say, you know, if you're receiving a phone call, it could open up around a general inquiry before somebody requests more details around their personal data or somebody else's personal data. So being comfortable you're speaking to the correct person is the key. Now, in a banking scenario, and we all know this, we have to verify some personal data so they're comfortable that they're speaking to the right person. That can still be applied in St. Monica by general common sense. You know, if you speak to that person every day, you recognise their voice, you recognise the number that's coming through on, you're comfortable, you're speaking to that relative or that person, that's enough. If you're unsure, whether it's that social worker or that care provider, then verifying them by other trusted means, giving them a call back on a number that you will verify via their website or through your own information systems is quite critical to verifying an individual.
Okay, so you got to know that they are who they say they are. But what about sharing stuff over the phone?
This is a difficult area. I wouldn't recommend sharing specific personal data over the phone. Business as usual information does get shared over the phone. Going back to our first podcast around accountability, documenting that sharing that's happened over the phone is quite key. So if you have a conversation with a relative of a resident and you've shared some information about their care or their progress, then making a note of that conversation with some summary information about what was shared and when and to whom is quite a key element to this.
Okay, excellent. But of course, things are shifting. Phone calls are getting less common and more people are sending and receiving emails. So what if I'm sending an email?
Several risks with sending emails. I think the first one is thinking about when you're emailing several people. So if you're emailing several external recipients outside of your organization or St. Monica Trust, then you should think about blind copying. So that's that BCC box, which should be available either through the options tab or up on your email provider. And that basically will stop other people seeing each other's email address. So effectively, you email yourself and blind copy the 30 or so residents or their relatives into the BCC box. They all get a singular email without seeing each other's email addresses. We see several breaches around this area.
Okay, so Rob, with emails and the sending of emails, just nail for us exactly what we should run through.
So with the sending of emails, the first thing is around, as I mentioned, blind copying when you're doing multiple recipients. The bigger risk is the cyber risk and around emailing the correct person, being comfortable you're emailing the correct person. That's quite obvious if you're replying to an email where somebody sent you. If you're emailing somebody for the first time, you might be getting that email from an information system, which you have a reliance on the accuracy of the email address. If you're manually typing that email address out, then a double check that it is the correct email address is quite clear. And of course, you've got useful tools on Outlook provided or Outlook on Gmail, where they remember emails that you've sent. So you start typing in John, and you're very close to emailing the wrong John quite quickly. So it's a double check before you click send.
Okay. So what about receiving emails? That can be tricky now, can't it?
Yeah, this is the bigger risk, is around the cyber risk around receiving emails, understanding and verifying that email. We see a huge amounts of data breaches and IT incidents on the back of emails that are received. And they were purporting to come from verified places. So the key is to verify the email. The three rules I would say is, are you expecting this email? Does it look and feel right? Now, that's difficult to put into a policy, so it's a gut reaction. Was I expecting this? Is it too good to be true? So always try and verify. Don't click that link. Don't open that attachment. Verify by other trusted means, giving them a quick call, dropping them a text message. Did you send me that email where it's asking me to click a link or opening that receipt or whatever it may be dressed up as? So be very, very careful. We see huge amounts of email breaches in this regard.
Okay. So less and less these days, I suppose, is hard copies, paper, but there must be rules around that, I guess.
Oh, definitely. And a lot of organisations still run both electronic and manual paper records filing systems. Hard copies, there is more risk around hard copies. We still need to think about the security of them, and that could be just locking that filing cabinet, just making sure that document's not left on the side of in a resident's room. And obviously, if you're thinking about taking information off-site, we can put lots of security within an organisational setup around access controls on doors and locking cabinets. But if you're about to take that document out to an outside GP or take it home to work on, the security level's reduced. So think about, do I really need to take that off-site? But the practical common sense measures around keeping data secure all apply.
Okay, so when we take things off-site, that's as important as anything, I guess.
Definitely, there's increased risk around taking documents off-site and the security of them. This is why the GDPR requires or really recommends encryption, and encryption is really there to protect electronic data. So an encrypted laptop effectively will protect the data that's on that machine. Obviously, hard copies are different. They tend to sit on the back seats of cars, in handbags or briefcases and so forth. So having that data on your person at all times is quite critical, and understanding the sensitivity of the data within that file.
Okay, some people have to operate payment card devices. That's so common these days. Are there any things to look out for there?
Yes, I won't go into all the controls there. There is a big security standard around payment card devices. Again, I won't spend time going through all of those. I think some practical common sense measures that are quite key. If you've got a payment card machine which is in an open environment and left on a desk, a double check of that device is really key around tampering. We've seen a number of incidents regarding fraud where people have effectively replaced the device, or they've got some card scammers on the machine. So double checking that device periodically to make sure it's still the same device, the same serial number, the same curly wire that hands out the front and so forth is really, really key to that.
Okay, that's excellent. Rob, I just want to talk to you about day-to-day stuff and come on, pick out some major do's and don'ts for us.
Okay, I think down to those practical measures, when you're working on your device, some device security is quite critical. And this is most of these are sort of behavioural issues you just need to get into the habit of doing. So if you need to move away from that device to go to the toilet or have a break, then locking your screen is quite key. You can do that using the Windows key in the bottom left and hitting L, and that will lock your screen if especially you have to dash off very quickly. And that's just one of those habit things that you just need to get into the rhythm of doing so. So locking your screen is quite key. I never like the words clear desk policy, but really that's critical in terms of understanding what personal data is left out. We're not asking you to clear all your desks so they're ultra tidy, but just thinking about, okay, I've got some generic policy documents left out, that's not really sensitive. However, a care record that's left on the side or an HR record that's left on the side, I need to lock that away before I leave for lunch or leave for the day.
That's excellent. What about major don'ts then?
So again, not leaving documents out is quite critical, and just having that double check procedure before you leave for the day is quite key. Think about when you're sending information. So if you're putting information into the post, think to yourself, do I really need to put it in the post? Can I do it in a different way? Can I put it electronically? Can I do send it via secure email as opposed to sending it out post with no recorded or secure delivery is quite key. And when you're working off-site, think about, do I really need to take this information off-site? I see a number of breaches where a whole file or several files have been taken off-site and lost or compromised, where actually in reality there was only one or two or three sheets that were going to be worked on that evening anyway. It was just habit of taking the whole file. So proportionality around how much data is taken off-site is really quite key.
So it sounds, Rob, as if a lot of this is just plain good sense.
A lot of it is common sense, and I wouldn't say that this hasn't been done historically. I think most organisations and staff have always applied this. So I think it's key to reminding staff to do this and, where possible, understanding where there are weaknesses. I think one of the critical things around that is having a culture of understanding if you spot a weakness, or even if you have a breach or are responsible for a breach yourself, being comfortable to report it. That is really, really critical. Don't fear for your own job safety. It is better that the organisation knows about it and can try and contain it and deal with the communications and the recovery from that breach than having to find out from another external source, whether it's social media or the local press.
And in terms of handling things, if it does go wrong, the major message then is don't sit on it. But what exactly does happen if it has gone wrong and there is a data breach?
So there are some quite strict rules within the GDPR around reporting high-risk breaches to the regulator, i.e. the ICO, within 72 hours of the organisation finding out about that breach. So that 72-hour period is quite key. So, you know, care organisations such as St Monica Trust work at 7 days a week, 24 hours. So if that breach happens on a Saturday at 10 to midnight, we still need to know about that breach and we still need to get on top of it quite quickly. And the initial phases is understanding what is that breach, what level of data are involved, what level of, you know, what number of individuals are involved and the sensitivity around that, and how can we contain it quite quickly. So if you think about cyber breaches, but when it's hard copies, that can be the practical measures around just double checking where those documents are held and so forth.
We really hope that that's been useful for you and that it's something that you can take forward. So the key messages are, take it seriously. If you spot a breach, do something about it, but just apply common good sense in your day-to-day. If you do have any queries at any time, speak to your manager about that. We're more than happy to help. And I'd like to say thanks to Rob for a most informative session.
Thank you, John.